So tonight's story is about Nayeli and how she saved the whole world. So Nayeli lived in a place that was far away where everything was different than it is here. So here we wake up and we have breakfast, and then we go to school, we play with our friends, and then we come home and we have dinner, and then we go to bed. But where Nayeli was from, they did everything different. They didn't wake up because they didn't sleep. They didn't have breakfast because they didn't eat. They didn't go to school because they knew everything already. They didn't go home because home was everywhere. They didn't eat dinner because, as I said, they don't eat. And Nayeli realized one day that there was something missing. That all of the people in her village were really unhappy, but she couldn't tell why. And so she felt this urge to figure out what was the reason why everyone was so unhappy. And she asked her mom, "Mom, why is it that everybody in this village is always sad?" And the mom said, "Well, I guess you're old enough. We should tell you. What you don't know is that there is a beast. You can think of it like a demon, like an oni. But this beast, when people are old enough, the beast eats them. So even though everybody is having a good time and they have family and friends, everybody knows in the back of their mind that someday, when they get old enough, they're going to get eaten by the oni." And Nelly, that's her nickname, Nelly.
Nelly?
And Nelly was really worried about this. She said, "Mom, am I going to get eaten someday?" Nelly's mom said, "Yep, if you live long enough and get old enough, you'll be eaten someday." And Nelly started to cry. She was really scared and really sad. And she started to figure some things out. She said, "Mom, you know, Grandmama? She left one day and never came back. Is that because..." And the mom said, "Yep, that's because Grandmama got eaten by the oni." And Nelly said, "That's not going to happen to me. I don't care what everyone else says. I'm not going to get eaten by an oni." And the mom said, "Oh dear, many people have tried to escape their fate, but everyone eventually has to meet the beast." And so Nelly said, "Not me. I'm going to fix this mess. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find someone or something that can defeat that oni." And mom said, "Make sure you bring a raincoat." And Nelly said, "Okay." And she grabbed a bag. What did she put in her bag?
An umbrella and popcorn.
She brought an umbrella and popcorn.
And an oni catcher.
I don't think she's got one of those. She brought
a magnifying glass.
Yep. Okay. And a few other objects, which we'll learn about in a little bit. So she set out, but remember, this was a very different place from where we live, and everything was really different. So her whole community, all the people she knew, they lived upside down, stuck to this surface. It was like a big plane, like it went on and on and on, like a big floor, but it was on the ceiling. And so in order for her to get any place different, she had to find a way to jump to another platform or another plane. And every time she would jump to a new one, all of the rules changed and the plants changed and the people, the way they looked, changed. And everything was different. So she knew that if she was going to find someone who could fight the oni, that she was going to have to go to a different plane, a different place. So she mustered up every ounce of strength she had, and she bent her knees deep, and she squatted down, and she jumped. And she flew up off of her plane and just barely caught on to another one that was drifting by. And she pulled herself up and she looked around, and she couldn't believe it because everything that she saw was fuzzy. The ground was fuzzy, the trees were fuzzy, the houses were fuzzy, and the people, well, they weren't people. They were little fuzzy googie boogie boogies.
Moogies?
It was the land of Moojis. But they weren't kitties. They were these fuzzy little creatures. And Nelly saw one, and it was a little green one. And Nelly said, "Hi." And the little one went, "Tooka, tooka, tooka." And Nelly said, "Oh, my, aren't you cute?" And the little one said, "Tooka, tooka, tooka, tooka." And Nelly said, "Oh, well, you're sweet. Will you be my pet?" And the little green one went, "Tooka, tooka, tooka, tooka," and jumped and grabbed Nelly and tackled her to the ground and started tickling all over. And Nelly thought it was so funny until she realized that she was all tied up. Her legs were tied, her hands were tied, and she couldn't move. And the little green one went, "Dooka, dooka, 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 dooka." And as she did that, all of these other little fuzzy people came out of the fuzzy forest, and they all surrounded her. And Nelly was kind of scared, but they were so darn cute with their little boogie boogie noses and their little boogie boogie. And so Nelly got picked up by this crowd of fuzzy little animals, and they took her into the fuzzy forest. And there they set her down in front of a big fuzzy chief. And he came out, and he said, "I am Chief Tatongo Knock Knock. You are in my plane. Explain yourself, Knock Knock." And Nelly said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was not supposed to be here. I just came looking for a hero that can help me slay the Oni that in my plane eats everybody when they get too old." And the chief said, "Oh, Noma Knock Knock, you need our bravest warrior, Flugi."
Flugi?
Flugi.
What?
Flugi.
Flugi.
And the big chief said, "You must climb Fuzzy Mountain, and there you will find Flugi, who will help you on your quest." And Nelly said, "That sounds good, but I'm all tied up. Can you let me go?" And the chief said, "Noma, noma, knock, knock." All the little fuzzies came, and they untied Nelly, and they sent her on her way. And she had to climb the mountain to get to the top to find the warrior. And as she walked, each stone that she stepped on sang a little song. And so as she stepped, it went, "Doom, ding, doom, ding, doom, doom, ding, doom, 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 ding, doom, ding, doom, doom, ding, doom." And she said, "How come every time I step on some of these, they make a fart noise?" And she said this to no one in particular because there was nobody around. But she kept walking, and she realized that it started getting kind of stinky. The farther she walked and the more little stones she stepped on that made a fart noise, the stinkier and stinkier everything got. Doom, ding, ba-doom, doom, dig-a-ding, dig-a-boom. She said, "Oh, man, this is like a fart forest. I don't want to go this way." And as she was walking, a little snake came slithering out of the grass.
Was it fuzzy?
It was fuzzy. Everything's fuzzy. And the fuzzy snake said,
Hello, Nelly. I see you're going up this path."
And Nelly said, "Yeah." And the snake said,
"If you want a tip, don't step on the brown ones."
And Nelly said, "Oh, I see. Every time I step on one of these brown stones, it makes a..." Yep. And so Nelly continued to skip on, and the snake slithered up ahead. And as the snake slithered on the ground, every stone that it slithered over changed color. And it changed from brown to pink and yellow and blue and purple. And so she could walk all the way up the forest path. And she made it to the top, where there was a temple, and it said, "Welcome to Temple Fuzzbuzz." And Nelly said, "Well, I guess I'm here." And she opened the fuzzy gate, and she walked through the fuzzy yard, and she came up the steps of the fuzzy temple, and there was the most fuzzy, ferocious, fearsome warrior that she had ever seen. And it was Flugi.
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 Flugi. Oh.
Fluji. And Fluji said, "Why have you seeked me out?" "Seeked? Seeking? Soaked? Yeah, why have you soaked me out?" And Nelly said, "I am here to find a warrior who can help me defeat the Oni on my plane." Is this story any good yet?
It's good.
Yeah?
I like it.
Okay, we'll keep going. So, Fluji agreed to come back with Nelly to fight the Oni. And so, Nelly led Fluji back down the path and back to where she could jump to her plane. And they both counted to three. 1, 2, 4. And they jumped. And they clung on to the other plane. They pulled themselves up and they were home again. They were on the upside down plane where Nelly was from. And she went looking for her mom, but she couldn't find her mom. And the rest of her family was really sad. And Nelly said, "Where's mom? I brought a warrior to fight the Oni. Where's mom?" And everyone said, "Oh, darling, I'm sorry, but you're old enough. Now it's time that you knew that when people get older..." "Yes, yes, I know. When people get old, they get fed to the Oni, but mom wasn't that old, was she?" And all the people hung their heads sad. And Nelly said, "Oh, no. That Oni has my mom. I have to go rescue her." So she went to her dad, who was younger than her mom, and said, "Dad, where can I find the Oni? I brought a warrior." And the dad said, "Oh, sweetie, you can't fight the Oni. Many people have tried." And Nelly said, "No, I'm going to fight. I have a warrior. I'm going to go. Just tell me where to go." And the dad said, "Well, if you really want to go make a big mistake, you can go to where the Oni lives. You just go to those double doors that has the big skull up above it, and you knock 3 times, and the Oni will come out to greet you and eat you." And Nelly was like, "Oh, man, I don't want to get eaten, but that Oni has my mom. I have to save her." So Nelly walked with the fuzzy warrior Fluji to the double doors with the skull on top, and she knocked 3 times. And the Oni said, "Who is it?" And Nelly said, "It's me, Nelly." And the Oni said, "1 minute." And she could hear these loud footsteps. And then the door creaked open. And there in front of her was a red face with white teeth that curved up and out, and big white eyes with black circles in the middle, and crazy shaggy hair, and a big muscly body, and claws and toenails. And Nelly was afraid, and Nelly said, "Are you the Oni?" And the Oni said, "Yes, and you must be dinner." And Nelly said, "No, I'm going to fight you. I brought a warrior." And the warrior stepped out in front of Nelly and drew its fuzzy sword and swung it at the Oni. And it went... and it tickled because it was all fuzzy. And Nelly said, "Oh no, all your weapons are fuzzy." And the warrior said, "Well, yeah, I'm a fuzzy fuzz fuzz." And Nelly was like, "Oh no, this isn't going to work. Abort, abort." And she tried to run away. But as she was running, the Oni grabbed the fuzzy warrior and ate him in one bite. And Nelly ran and ran and ran and ran as far as she could. And she got to safety and she was breathing heavy and she went, "Oh no, that Oni ate my fuzzy warrior and it ate my mom. I have to rescue them." And she went back to her village and she talked to her dad again and said, "Dad, I messed up. I went and found a warrior, but he wasn't the right kind, or I don't know. He got eaten and mama got eaten. What should I do?" And the dad said, "Oh, Nelly, it's just something that happens in life. When you get old enough, a big Oni will eat you.
For life?
For real life? No.
No.
This is my story that I'm making up. And Nelly said, I guess you're right. I guess eventually we all just get eaten by the... No. No, that's not right. I'm not going to get eaten by an Oni. I refuse. I'm going to go find another warrior, a better warrior, who's going to fight the Oni and rescue Flugi and rescue my mom and anyone else who's stuck in there. I am not going to just let this Oni eat me. And so Nelly went back to the edge of the plain that she lived on. And she bent down real low and she counted to three. One, two, three. And she jumped into space. And she saw all these planes floating by. And she felt like she can reach out and grab whichever one she wanted. So she felt like she should choose a good one. And she saw the fuzzy plane. She's like, I don't need to go back there. And she saw another plane that seemed to be made of all ice. And she saw crystal people with crystal weapons and crystal houses. And then she looked over there and she saw a fire plane where everything was on fire and all the people were fire and their houses were fire and they ate fire food and they walked fire dogs. And she's like, that's interesting. And she looked over and she saw a land of sand. The whole world was just covered with sand. And she didn't see any people, but it seemed like kind of a magic place. She said, you know what? I don't know why, but I feel like that's the place I need to go. And she reached out. She grabbed onto that plane and she pulled herself up. And then there she was, standing in a world of sand.
A desert.
A desert that just went on and on for every direction, as far as you could see. And she started to walk, and she said, I know there's a reason I'm here. This looked like the place to go, and I'm going to trust my gut. So she kept walking. And she walked for a while, and she started to feel kind of discouraged. She said, maybe I should pick a different plane. Maybe this was a mistake. But when she turned around to look for the edge, it was gone. And she couldn't find a way out. She was just there in the desert. And she kept walking, but the sun was setting. There was two suns. And the suns were setting, and it was getting darker and colder. And she said, oh man, if it gets to be nighttime, I don't have any shelter. I better find a place to go. So she started running over the dunes, and she made footprints in the sand as she ran. She ran and ran and ran and ran and ran, and she couldn't find a place to go. And she turned around, she looked, and she realized that her footprints were there, but there were other sets of footprints too. Someone was following her. Not just one person, but at least two or three. There were all of these footprints that were kind of following along with hers. And it made her feel uneasy, but she said, hello? Is anyone there? And she heard a rustling sound. And she saw a little glow, kind of like a little tiny speck of glowing dust that kind of swirled above the ground right where the footprints were. And that sparkle turned into two sparkles, turned into three sparkles, and it connected and connected, and she could see forming a whole skeleton made out of sparkles. And around that skeleton was wrapped skin, and then she saw a face, and it was a friendly face. But it was made out of this sparkly dust. And she said, are you the one who's been following me? And the sparkle dust said, yes. And she said, is there more than just you? I see a lot of footprints. And the voice said, there are others. And then all these little sparkly creatures started to form. And she saw the sparkles grow and turn into a skeleton, and then get wrapped in skin, and then a happy face, a kind, gentle face, but all sparkles. And now there were six of these creatures all standing around her. And she said, I'm really sorry to bother you, but I've come from a faraway plane to see if I can find a warrior or a hero who can come back with me and fight the Oni who has taken my mom and another warrior and is terrorizing the people of my village. And the sparkle people said, Well, child, we don't get involved in the problems of others. And she said, oh, please, if you have anything that can help me, please let me know. And the sparkly people said, well, we can't go with you because we can't leave this planet. You see, all of this sand is us. The sparkles you see, that's just sand. But we are creatures that inhabit the sand and shape them into our bodies. She said, huh, okay, but can one of you come and help? And they said, we cannot leave our planet, but we can do you a favor. You see, there is a jewel buried in the sand, and we have been searching for it for a long time. And if you find that jewel, we will grant you 3 wishes that can help you in your quest. And so Nelly said, okay, where should I start looking? And they said, the only thing we can tell you is the riddle that we know. Okay, tell me the riddle. They said, the riddle goes, to find the gem that's buried deep, you must travel across the land and dig in the spot where it's cold and hot, deep down in the sand.
Emoji.
And she said, wow, that's not a lot to go on, but okay, I must travel across the land to the place where it's cold and hot and dig down in this. Okay, I'm going to try and find this gem so I can get those wishes. Will you guys help me? And when she turned around, they were all gone. They had blown away on the breeze back into the sand they were made of. And Nelly said, all right, well, I knew that there was a reason I should come here, and here I am. I'm going to find this gem, and I'm going to get those wishes. And she started walking, and it was getting cold. She said, well, I found the cold place, all right. Now I need to find the hot place. And she kept walking, and it got colder and colder out, and she could see her breath. She said, oh my gosh, this is way colder than I thought it would be. And as she walked, she felt the ground get crunchier and crunchier. And suddenly it didn't feel like soft sand. It felt like ice crystals. Like she was walking on snow. And she looked down and she realized that it was snow. That in this plain at night, this sand turned to snow. So that in the day it was really hot, and at night it was very cold. And so she said, whoa, I better look at my backpack and see if I have anything that can help me out here. So she opened up her backpack that she packed in the beginning. She looked in and she said, well, I have an umbrella. That's probably not going to help too much. I have a magnifying glass, which could help if I need to find some clues. Oh, good thing I brought these boots and these snow pants and this sled. And she took all these things out of her pack and she hopped on and she started sledding down the dunes. And she was all bundled up. She said, man, I'm glad I have those shrinky clothes. Those are handy. You can pack a whole suitcase of shrinky clothes. And so she went sledding down the snow drifts, and it got deeper and deeper and deeper. And she kept going faster and faster and faster down this huge hill. And as she looked out ahead, she could see a faint glow way off ahead of her. And it was kind of a greenish glow, like it was underneath the snow. She said, well.
And she also packed some goggles.
Yeah, she had goggles, so she had those on her face to keep her warm. And so she was going down, down, down this snowy hill that looked like a desert, but was actually snow. She got to the bottom where she saw this green glow. And she said, well, this is an interesting spot. I haven't seen anything else that looks different, but here's this glowing green. I'm going to start digging. And so she looked in her pack, and she looked and rummaged through it, and there she had a shrinky shovel. She said, oh, good, my shrinky shovel. And she pulled it out, and as she pulled it out of the pack, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was a full-size shovel. And she started digging in the snow. And as she dug, the light got brighter and brighter and brighter.
Ouch!
Oh, I'm sorry. Is someone there?
Well, yeah, there's someone here. It's me. This is where I live.
Nelly said, "What? Who are you?" And this little green glow came out of the sand, and it was a little snowman. But he was all glowing green, and he was made of the snow, and it was all held together with this green glow. And he said,
"Well, I'm the man of the sand. What are you doing sticking that shovel in my butt? Get out of here."
And Nelly said, "Oh, I didn't mean to bother you. I just saw a glow, and I thought that maybe it was something that could help me on my quest." And the snowman said,
"Yeah, what's the big idea? What quest are you on?"
And Nelly said, "Well, I'm trying to rescue my people from an Oni, and I ended up here, and now I have to find a gem that's buried in the sand. And I'm following some crazy riddle, and I'm wearing goggles, and I'm on a sled, and I dug up you, and I don't really know what's going on." And the man of the sand said, "Oh, you seek the gem. Well, I don't know anything about that, wink, wink." Nelly said, "Why did you say wink, wink?" And the snowman said, "Oh, no reason, wink, wink." And Nelly said, "Come on, you know something, don't you?" And the snowman said, "No, I don't know any. I know everything." Nelly said, "You are so weird. Will you tell me what you know?" And the snowman said, "Well, I know a thing or two about this treasure you seek. You see, I went looking for it one day, and I found it."
"Really? Where is it?"
"I can't tell you that." "Well, you stink." And the little snowman said, "Well, if you follow me and give me a hand, maybe I'll give you another clue." Nelly said, "Fine, whatever. This is the worst day of my life. What are we going to do?" The snowman said, "Come back to my place, and I will show you a tunnel that takes you deep, deep underground. I don't know, it could be useful." Nelly said, "All right, you take me to your house, you show me where to go." And so the snowman took her deep, deep, deep into the snow. And there was a little house where he lived. And it had a little snow chair and a little snow bed and a little snow table, and it was full of snow things. And Nelly said, "All right, so what do you need help with?" He said, "Well, I have a big task for you. You see that picture on the wall?"
"Yeah."
"I want you to help me straighten it." Okay, said Nelly. And so she walked up to the picture and she looked at it. And it was a whole world in the picture. It wasn't flat like most pictures. She could actually look in and see all of this landscape and trees and a forest and people walking around in this picture. And she said, "You want me to help you straighten it out?" And the little snowman said, "Yes, that is my test." And so Nelly went.
That wasn't his bed. That's not his bed.
Oh? What are you doing, Mama? You joining? So you're going to be very confused. These kids know what's going on, but you don't. So Nelly started straightening this picture, and it started off pretty crooked. And as she tilted it, she could see all the little people inside the picture were kind of getting moved about. And she tilted a little bit just to see what would happen, and everything started shifting and sliding, and houses were falling over, and people were screaming. She said, "Oh, I better tilt it back." She tilted it back the other way, and everything started straightening out, and the whole world in this picture came back into alignment and order. And the snowman said, "Ah, that looks so much better. Thank you. Now there's a secret. If you look into the picture, you will see the cave that I told you about."
Oh.
And so Nelly looked.
How pretty, it's glowing.
She looked, and sure enough, there in the picture, far in the background, was a mountain and a cave underneath it. And there was a little sign that said, "That-a-way." So Nelly said, "All right, well, this is weird, but might as well get weirder. I'm going to climb into that picture." And she climbed in, And she got smaller and smaller and smaller until she was the same size as everything that was in that picture. And she was in a completely new world. It wasn't the snow world anymore. It was a jungle world full of houses and people and things.
And was it? And she thought was fuzzy, but it wasn't fuzzy.
No, it wasn't the fuzzy world. So she walked towards the cave. She got closer and closer and closer. And when she got there, she stood at the entrance. And it was this big tube of rock that went deep underground. And she could feel the wind blowing out of it. And it was howling.
And she thought, who? And she was scared. And she thought it was a ghost, but it wasn't. It was just a wolf.
So she started walking in. She went down, down, down into the cave. And it was cold and dark. And she kept walking and walking. And it got darker and darker. And she said, well, I can't really see. I better check my backpack to see if I have anything that can help. And she looked in, and there was her shrinky flashlight. And so she grabbed it and she pulled it out. And as she pulled it out, it got bigger and bigger and was a full-size flashlight. And she clicked it on. And she pointed it down the chamber and she could see all of these jagged rocks and a path that sparkled a little bit in the light. And she got real close and she looked at it. And sure enough, there was a golden path that was in the cave. And she started walking and following the golden path. And it came to a fork where the...
It was actually a person.
like the other sparkle people?
Yeah.
Well, this was just sparkles in the rock. And she came to a place where the cave went two different directions. And the gold sparkles went one way. And in the other direction, there were no sparkles. And she said, well, I have to pick. What should I pick? What do you guys think she should do?
Sparkles.
Sparkles?
Yeah. And she looked in her mind and said,
So she followed...
What about the magnifying glass to check?
Oh, should she look? Yeah, that's a good idea. So she pulled out the magnifying glass from her shrinky sack. And she pulled it out, and it was very tiny, but then it got full-sized as she pulled it out. And she looked really close at the gold flecks. And to her surprise, it wasn't rock. They were little bones. Little golden skeletons of little animals. They were very small. And some were crunched up, but a lot of them were just sitting there. Bones and skulls.
And there were
so many of them. It was like a little river of bones that went...
But there weren't animal bones. There were little people bones.
There were little people bones, but also little animal bones. She's like, wow, that is something else. Well, I'm going to see where this leads. And she kept walking down that path of gold little bones. And she came to a place where the cave went around a corner. And the flashlight couldn't shine that far, but she could see a glow from around the corner. And so she walked deeper and deeper and deeper, and the glow got brighter and brighter as she got to the corner. And she came around the corner. And there she saw what was causing the glow. It was a huge pile of gold dust. It looked like sand.
I tell you, it was a big pile, big stuffies. But it grew stuffies. And grew and was back there, actually.
Can I finish the story, sweetie? So it was a big pile of gold dust. And this trail led right to it. She's like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that entire pile of gold powder are all these little skeletons and bones. And so she walked up to it, and it was huge. She could have climbed up to the top of it. It was as tall as a house, if not taller. Baby, please stop. What are you doing? Are you tired? Should we stop?
No, I was just putting it away so
help. If you want to listen to a story, you need to lay down like you're going to sleep and just listen. So she got to this pile and she scooped up a handful of it and it filtered down through her fingers and just poured and blew away. And she got out her magnifying glass and she looked, and sure enough, every little speck was a little bone. It was a little skull or it was a little leg bone. And there were different types of skulls, and it was just very, very strange. And as she stood there looking, she heard the deep breath of a huge animal. And she turned around, and there was the biggest, most ferocious dragon she had ever seen. And it was as tall as the cave. It had to hunch down even to fit inside of it. And it looked at her with glowing red eyes. And he squinted down his eyes and said,
"What are you doing here?"
And Nelly was so scared she could barely talk. We have to tell Mama that our character's name is Nelly. I can't remember what her full name is. Nelly was short for something. Do you remember?
I just said her name was Nelly.
What was it?
Nelly.
Yeah, but it was a longer version of that. Anyway. So Nelly was looking into these two giant dragon eyes. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I didn't realize if I followed this trail of gold, it would come to this giant pile and you." And the dragon said, "You should know when you follow a trail of gold, it leads to danger." And Nelly said, "That's probably true, but no one ever taught me that. Can I leave? I promise I won't take anything or touch anything." And the dragon said, "No, you have come into my chamber, and now you too will become gold." And Nelly said, "Oh my gosh, this is not the way I thought my day would go. Dragon, can I ask you a question?" And the dragon said, "Yes." And she said, "I'm on a quest to find a hero who can help my plane, that can rescue my mom and the others from an Oni. And I know that you have your heart set on eating me or turning me to gold or something, but you're just about the biggest, meanest, most ferocious thing I've ever seen. Will you come back and help me on my quest?" What? And the dragon said, "No, you have entered your own doom."
Then she was running away.
And so Nelly turned to run and started off down the trail, but it didn't take much for the dragon to catch her. It just reached out with its long, crook nails and just picked her up by the back of her shirt and faced her back around and looked her right in the eyes and blew on her. And Nelly could feel herself turning to gold. She could feel her joints stiffen and her body get rigid. And she said, "No, this is not the way this ends. This is not going to happen." And so she screamed as loud as she could, "Wah!" And the dragon said, "Ow, man, my ears! Are you kidding me? You can't be doing that." And dropped her down to the ground, and she landed on a pile of gold bones that just went foof. And Nelly started to run, and she ran back down the cave. And she could hear the dragon was angry now and was chasing her down the cave. But she ran to the intersection, and she made a turn down the path that didn't have the gold. And she went deeper and deeper and deeper down the trail. And she could hear the dragon go running past behind her, because the dragon could only follow the gold trail. The story is silly.
Oh, more. Just finish it, Dad.
Well, we've barely scratched the surface.
Well, it is almost 9:00.
I know.
Come on. More.
Maybe Dad can start it again tomorrow. No.
It's been pretty good so far. Mama came in and then it kind of made me...
Sorry, I'm not really listening.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I don't know what's happening.
That's true.
Okay, more.
I'm going to get to the point where... Okay, so here's where we're going to end. So she ran down that path, and the dragon went running past the other way, chasing her. But the dragon was stuck on his gold track, because that's all he knew about, and that's all he cared about, and that's all he could chase. And so he went down the tunnel, out and away from where Nelly was hiding in the other cave. And she realized that she was trapped, because the dragon went the way that she had come in, and she was stuck down this little dead end that didn't have the gold dust. And so she said, you know what? If I can get back to that dragon's chamber before he gets there, I bet I can find some clue as to why I'm here. Because the snowman had me come into this picture and come into this cave, and I don't think he would have done that unless there was a reason. He said this was part of it. And so Nelly went back down the gold path. The dragon had already passed, so it was gone out the door. But she went down deeper and deeper and deeper until she came back to that big pile of gold. And she said, well, the clue and the riddle was that I had to go deep, deep, deep down underground to the place where it's cold and hot. And it's definitely cold in here, but I wonder how I can make it hot. So she thought about that, and she thought to herself, well, maybe the dragon could blow fire, and maybe that would mix the cold and the hot, and it would unlock the riddle. And so she thought about what to do, and she had an idea. She took some of the gold dust, and it could kind of pack together like snow, and she packed it into the shape of a Nelly. She made a little snow Nelly out of the gold dust, and she took off her jacket, and she put it on it, and she made a funny face on the little statue of her, like it was crossing its eyes and sticking out its tongue. And then she went and she hid behind a rock in the corner of the cave. And after a little while, she heard the dragon coming back. And the dragon saw the little Nelly statue and said, ho ho, you've come back. Well, this will be your doom. And then he noticed the face. He said, don't make that face at me. Don't stick your tongue out at me. Why, I'll teach you a lesson. And he blew a huge fireball. And it melted that little statue, and it caught the whole gold pile on fire, and it was burning and melting. And the dragon said, no, my gold! And it was burning, 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 and it shrunk down almost like it was melting. And it shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and then there in the center was a beautiful green gemstone. And Nelly immediately recognized that that was the gem she was supposed to find for the Sparkle People. And so while the dragon was crying and lamenting the loss of his treasure, Nelly ran out and she slid on the ground. She scooped up that gem and she ran out the cave. And the dragon heard her just at the last second and started trying to chase her. But he was kind of lumbering and he didn't make it very far. He just collapsed in a heap crying over his treasure. And so Nelly ran back out of the cave holding on to this gem and made it back through the forest and through that little world that was in the picture and then climbed out of the picture frame. And when she did, it went a little crooked again. And the snowman guy was like, humph. Well, I see you've solved the riddle and you have the gem. Very good. I too went after that gem once, but I never could get past the dragon. Tell me, how did you do it? And Nelly said, oh. And she kept on walking. She walked out of the little house of the crystal snowman, and she went back up into the sun, because the night had passed and it was sunny again. And so all of that snow had turned back into delicate crystal sand. And she walked, and she got away from the little house, and she yelled into the space, hello, I found your gem, come and get it. And of course, again, a little sparkle started that started to swirl in the air and became two sparkles, and then three sparkles, and then 10, and multiplied and became a sparkle of bones. and then skin that wrapped around it, and then a gentle face that all took form out of the sparkly dust. And the creature said, "You have found the gem. Many people have tried, but no one has ever done that. Well, we'll make good on our promise. You give us the gem, and we will grant you 3 wishes." And so Nelly handed over the gem, and they said, "What are your 3 wishes?" And her wish was for the story to be over, and it was. No, not really. We'll finish the rest of it tomorrow. Cuckoo.
To be continued.
To be continued.
Are you gonna pause it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not finished.
Nope. Because we still have to rest.